Oh my God. Oh. You know, I'm honestly sitting here and I'm debating what's worse, SmackDown or the Mets? And the Mets have lost 14 of their last 16. I'm still not convinced. I'm still not convinced that they are not worse than SmackDown. SmackDown was in Boston tonight. No Cody Rhodes. No John Cena, no Brock Lesnar, no Logan Paul. A lot of key names that are tied into various stories on SmackDown that were not on the show tonight. But we had Solo Sikoa and the MFTs. They were all over this show, including the main event. Six-man tag team match in the main event. You know, at least tonight, we actually had a clean finish in the main event. I could not say that for Raw Monday night. I could not say that for SmackDown last week. At least we did not have a fucking disqualification in the main event tonight. That's great. That's great. Sami Zayn is officially now a member of the SmackDown roster. They made it official. It kind of felt that way anyway. Last week, he got a win over Solo Sikoa. It felt like he should be going for the United States Championship. Then they attacked him on Raw Monday night. I got to deal with the MFTs on Monday. It only felt natural that you would move Sami over to SmackDown. They made that official. And he was in the main event tonight, and he got another win. He pinned the United States Champion 2 weeks in a row. That doesn't bode very well for his chances when he actually gets that title match, but we'll get there at some point. They did not make that announcement official tonight. What else can I say about this show? I'll tell you one good thing. Better late than never, they're actually doing something with Carmelo Hayes. They're doing a story with Carmelo Hayes and The Miz that is clearly intended to eventually turn Carmelo Hayes babyface. That's more than I can say they've done with Carmelo Hayes in months on this show. I don't know what took them so long, but at least they're doing something with him, right? So that's a plus. And we had Jacob Fatu in the main event tonight as well on that six-man tag team match, which that sort of thing is the sort of thing we need to see more of. I just wish they had something more compelling and more engaging for him to be involved in at the moment. There's not a whole lot to say on this show as far as things that are engaging or things that are terribly interesting. I'm sorry. I wish I could say that there was, but there is not. Case in point, look at the women's championship scene on SmackDown. It was very striking tonight. And I'm not just talking about the WWE Women's Championship and Tiffany Stratton. I'm talking about the U.S. title as well with Julia. Julia's representative was on the show tonight. Julia herself was not on the show. And let's not pretend that they've done a whole hell of a lot with Julia so far. She's got the championship. She hasn't done anything with it yet. But I'm looking at the women's scene on SmackDown right now. And tonight what we had was a backstage segment involving Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, and Nia Jax, who's been spending the last few weeks on NXT, but they were all bickering and they were all arguing. And they sure made you think that we're getting another match soon involving Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax. That is how barren they are with ideas when it comes to the women's championship picture on this show. It is dire. The women's title scene on this show is dire. And it is in need of, obviously, it's in need of some fresh blood. It's in need of Bianca Belair, and it's out of their hands. Obviously, she has to get medically cleared first, but boy, they have really taken a blow not having her available. That much is clear. Now, I'm hoping that she gets cleared soon, but again, she was talking a few weeks ago before SummerSlam about how, you know, the one broken finger that still won't bend, if that doesn't heal on its own, she'll need surgery. So let's get a prayer circle going for Bianca Belair that she can be okay and she can get medically cleared soon, because my God, could this division use her right now on TV. So don't even get me started on the women's division on this show. This was another boring episode of SmackDown. Last week's SmackDown absolutely sucked. Tonight, there were pockets of little glimmers and pockets of hope here and there. Again, the Carmelo Hayes stuff as an example. There was some, you know, solid wrestling on the show, but the show, it has no soul. It is completely devoid of any soul. I don't understand how this show could be so boring. With all of the names that they have in this company, and this is the best that they could come up with week to week, what is going on here? It's like they took the summer off. I'm not even exaggerating when I tell you that the episodes of Collision that I am able to check out, Collision is a better show than SmackDown. There is a TNA pay-per-view tonight, Emergence. I forgot all about that. I haven't watched it, obviously. I was watching SmackDown, but I am certain that that is a better show than SmackDown was tonight. But Collision week to week is a better show than SmackDown. That is where we are at this point. That's where we are. I don't understand it. I really don't. Now, they did mention tonight, for those of you wondering about the Naomi situation, Naomi is going to be on Raw this Monday night. They did not say what her status is. Obviously, she will update everybody on her status on Raw. We will get an answer if she is going to be out for a while, for whatever reason, and has to vacate the Women's Championship. We will know on Monday night. So that is the update on Naomi. We'll have to wait until then for answers. In the meantime, though, we're stuck talking about SmackDown. Sorry, guys. At least you got me. This is your SmackDown review. It is Friday night, August 15th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. I promise to not be as boring as this show was. Jay wants to know, then why are you watching it then? Well, Jay, you might be new here, but you see, I review SmackDown every week. Now, I don't have a crystal ball in my hand, although watching the show last week, I probably should have deduced that this show would not be much better. But see, I don't know what kind of show I'm going to get from week to week. That's why you watch the shows. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not. Unfortunately, this is two straight weeks of very boring television that we have been given, and my job is to sit here and talk about these shows, because that is what I do here on this channel. I talk about Raw, I talk about SmackDown, I talk about Dynamite, I talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. So I hope that helps. And I hope that I can give you a more entertaining review than WWE gave you a show tonight. That's my job. Hit that subscribe button. Oh, by the way, I have to give a shout out to Brian. Mr. Finelli, I don't know if he's with us tonight live or not, but Brian put together this very cool graphic here. We hit 88,000 subscribers on the channel the other day. And of course, got to get that Back to the Future reference in there. So Brian, thank you for this, and thank you all for 88,000 subscribers as we now begin the journey to 89K. That is coming up next. So again, Brian, thank you for the cool graphic there. Super chats are open. If you have questions, comments, you want to support the channel, I'll be reading your messages a little bit later on. You'll see them popping up on your screen. And with that out of the way, let's get into this show here. Let's talk about SmackDown. This shouldn't take too long. I don't suspect this is going to take very long tonight. Kevin says your reviews are better than WWE shows most times. Well, I'm very happy to hear you say that. I just wish it wasn't the case. It's kind of sad. But hey, I'll take the compliment. So, SmackDown. Open with Solo Sikoa and his family tree making their way down to the ring. So the United States champion said that the MFTs were in the building tonight to remind everybody that they ran SmackDown. No wonder this show has been so awful. So he says, if nobody likes that, too bad. Last week, Sami Zayn came out on SmackDown and that forced Solo and the MFTs to show up on Raw to, in his words, stomp his ass out. Sikoa declared that Sami was stomped out, along with Jimmy Uso and Jacob Fatu, and he once again challenged anybody in the back to come on out and challenge him, and he was cut off by Sami Zayn's music. So he made his way down to the ring, and Sami said, look, I'm just here to talk. That's all I want to do. So the MFTs, they left the ring. It was just Sami and Solo in the ring together. Sami said this past Monday, had he beaten Rusev in their match, it's very possible that he could have been fighting for the World Heavyweight Championship at Clash in Paris. As it is, there's a four-way match. Sami Zayn is not involved in that match. But maybe he would have been, had he got a win on Monday. And now that's not going to happen, thanks to the MFTs. And he was furious about it, but after some thinking, he noted that he was finally liberated. He had been so focused on chasing the world title that he hadn't really had time to focus on other things in WWE, and for that he has to thank Solo Sikoa. So Sami said there was one title that he has never held outside of the world title in WWE, and that is the United States Championship. So Solo taunted him and said, yeah, and you're never going to win the U.S. title. And he yelled at him to get off his show. because he didn't want to see him ever again. And at that point, Sammy informed him that he is now officially a member of the SmackDown roster. He didn't say how this all came about. It just happened. It just is. He is now official. Not that it matters. It is kind of funny to have him come out here and say, I'm officially on SmackDown now. It doesn't matter. People go back and forth at will. So does he really have to come out here and declare? This is not the fucking airport. You don't have to come out here and declare stupid shit like this. That really doesn't mean anything. But according to Sami Zayn, he is officially on SmackDown now. So Solo took something away from him, he said, and now Sami was going to take something away from Solo in the form of the U.S. title. Solo tried to strike Sami. Sami fought back. So the MFT stepped in. They delivered a beatdown until Jimmy Uso ran out for the save. The MFTs still had the advantage, so they beat on him until Jacob Fatu came out, even up the numbers a little bit more. The MFTs were forced to retreat, including all three babyfaces, sending Tala Tonga out of the ring with a triple super kick. Nick Aldis came out at this point, and he made it official for the main event that it would be Sami Zayn, Jimmy Uso, and Jacob Fatu taking on the MFTs in a six-man tag team match. So we had the MFTs in the opening match, and now we were guaranteed to have the MFTs in the closing match. Another week, another show where Nick Aldis cannot be bothered to have a main event already scheduled before his show goes on the air. Terrible. But it is nice that they acknowledge that Sami Zayn at least has officially switched rosters, which, honestly, it's the right move to make. And effectively, what has happened here, they have said nothing, by the way, about LA Knight officially being on Raw. But LA Knight is officially on Raw now. I don't know what the roster page, I assume LA Knight is still listed on the SmackDown roster page on WWE.com because they take their sweet time updating that website. Unless you are released or your contract expires. Boy, they get you in that alumni section real quick. But sometimes it takes a while for them to update the roster pages. Basically, what's happened here is they had a one-for-one trade. Sami Zayn has been moved over to SmackDown. LA Knight has been moved over to Raw, which is where he belongs. Remember, I was calling for that move for months because LA Knight is actually in the main event at Clash in Paris. He is wrestling for the World Heavyweight Championship. Again, he already challenged for the world title last week. If that doesn't make him a member of the Raw roster, I don't know what does. And I also don't know why this was never acknowledged on television. I think it's a very lazy way to make roster moves, especially when you have two general managers. It would not take a lot of effort to set up a segment or two to make it very clear that there's some sort of trade or there's some sort of deal that's been struck. But again, they can't be bothered because this is lazy television. So things just happen. There doesn't have to be an explanation for it. It just is. It is the laziest form of storytelling you could possibly ask for. But there you go. That move is now official. Now, interesting that Sami is on SmackDown because, again, his story is on the back burner for the World Heavyweight Championship right now, or the WWE title, I suppose. But just because he's on SmackDown does not mean that he cannot still challenge Seth Rollins at WrestleMania next year for the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm not saying he will, but it doesn't eliminate the possibility because if Sami Zayn goes to Saudi next year and he wins the Royal Rumble, or even if he were to win the Elimination Chamber, but more so if he won the Royal Rumble. I guess if you win the Chamber, you don't have a choice. You win the Rumble, you have the choice, right, of the champion that you would like to wrestle. So theoretically, you could still do Sami Zayn challenging for the big gold belt. Or you could have Sami Zayn challenging for the WWE Championship. And remember, he has a history with a certain someone on this show. That person is Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is someone that Sami Zayn has never, ever been able to beat. Drew McIntyre is undefeated against Sami Zayn. So if you wanted to tell that story next year, it's like killing two birds with one stone. Not only could Sami finally get that elusive win over Drew McIntyre, but in so doing, he might be able to win the WWE Championship for the first time. So that's another potential story avenue for them to go down. Obviously, they're going to revisit it because they keep drilling it into our heads that I want to be a world champion. I know I can be a world champion. But they had to pivot away to something else because it's too early to tell that story. So him going after the U.S. title actually makes sense. But that was your opening segment here on this show. Now, that led into Alexa Bliss One half of the women's tag team champions with Charlotte Flair in her corner taking on Piper Niven, who had Chelsea Green, and Alba Fire in hers. By the way, I should point out they had a giant King of the Hill logo in the middle of the ring to promote the reboot. Bliss asked for a moment before the match to put her Lily doll aside, and that's when Piper bounced. She pounced, and she bounced. Bliss jumped on her back. She tried to apply a sleeper hold. Niven broke the hold. She floored Bliss with a boss man slam. That took us into a commercial break. Bliss took advantage after she avoided a cannonball in the corner. She hit Piper with repeated running moonsaults. Niven regained momentum, though, with a headbutt. Bliss avoided the Vader bomb. And as she tried to head up top, Chelsea got up on the apron to run distraction. Charlotte, though, stopped her. So Alba Fire got up on the apron. She got kicked away by Bliss. And in the end, Bliss rolled up Piper and got the win. And after the match was over, Charlotte and Alexa, they found themselves on the receiving end of a 3-on-2 attack from Chelsea and her secret Herbis. Decent enough match. Seems to set up a future tag team championship match for these two. It gives Chelsea's group a rare segment where they were not the ones to be laid out. They did the laying out, but I'd be lying if I told you that any of this was terribly exciting. Certainly Boston didn't think so. Backstage, Nick Aldis stood between Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill as they were bickering back and forth. Nia Jax showed up. And as I mentioned earlier, she's been on NXT the last couple of weeks. And even before that, she hadn't been on SmackDown for a while. I honestly don't remember her doing anything after she lost that last woman standing match to Tiffany Stratton. It's possible she wasn't on this show until tonight since then. But there she is. Nia took issue with Jade wanting a rematch for the women's title. Nia suggested that Jade fall back and let her take care of Tiffany Stratton. Jade said that she wouldn't fall back for anyone, and Stratton said that her facing Nia would end the same way it always does. She said that if she had to prove it to Jax before she proves it to Jade, they should both bring it. I can't believe that we're going back to this again. You know, when I say that they are creatively bankrupt on this show, this is the sort of thing I'm talking about. And it is no more obvious than it is right now with the women's title scene on SmackDown. It is awful. It's just awful. And I'm not saying that Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax didn't have some good matches. I'm not even commenting on the quality of the match. I'm saying, why are we going back to this again? Why does it feel like the car is going up the hill and now we're rolling backwards? That's what this show feels like, especially when it comes to this stuff. I don't understand that. We had The Miz and Carmelo Hayes. Melo don't Miz. Taking on Fraxium. If you remember last week, Hayes was about to storm into Nick Aldis's office to demand a United States Championship match, and The Miz was in there. Aldis wasn't in his office, but Miz was in there. And he stopped him from doing so and said, look, I went to Nick Aldis and I got us a tag team match for next week. And Melo was like, where have you been? You've been gone for it because Miz was off filming American Gladiators. Like, where have you been? You abandoned me. You've been gone for 2 months. And Miz is like, don't worry, I got us a match. And then Melo walked away. Aldis walked in. And it was pretty clear that he lied to him. And he actually had not yet asked for a tag team match. I guess he did after the facts. Anyway, that's what led to this match here. Right? Riveting stuff. So the match starts. And right away, the Miz is distracted. He looks up into the crowd. And there's Joe Gacy up in the crowd with his tag team title belt. And then a couple of moments later, they look up and there's Dexter Lumis in his Mercy the Buzzard mask. And he's up in the crowd. And so they're both stalking and watching here during this match. Miz was very perplexed by the speed of Nathan Frazier. Quickly tagged out to let Carmelo Hayes deal with him. Fraxium ran wild for a little bit ahead of a commercial break. Show came back with Hayes in control on Axiom. Axiom countered and attempted powerbomb with a Hurricane Rana that got a near fall. Hayes finally connected with said powerbomb, but he could not put Axiom away. Frazier got the hot tag. He went into supersonic speed mode, just ping-ponging back and forth, and he took Miz down with a moonsault. Frazier looked for the Phoenix Splash. Miz, though, rolled out of the way. Or rolled away, really, is what he did. Hayes tagged in, and he tried for a springboard attack. Frazier, though, met him on the ropes. So Hayes is going for a springboard. He doesn't even make it off the middle rope before Frazier meets him, and then he pulls him off with a Spanish fly. So after Hayes kicked out, he tried to head up top. Axiom stunned him, though, with a kick. This opened Hayes up for the Spanish fly Phoenix splash combo from Fraxium. Miz broke up the count by stepping onto Frazier's back and then followed that right into a DDT. On the top rope, Frazier hit Hayes with a jumping kick and then looked for a jumping Spanish fly with Axiom, but Miz stopped Axiom with a DDT on the apron. Back on top, Hayes countered Frazier with a top rope cutter. And so now Hayes is up top, and he's looking for nothing but net. And he's getting cheers from the crowd. So the crowd is into his offense, and the crowd is ready to see him finish this guy off. And that's when The Miz selfishly tags himself into the match. And Hayes is just incredulous. Can't believe this. And Miz gets into the ring, and he hits a skull-crushing finale, and he gets the win. He stole the win from his own partner. And after the match is over, obviously Hayes is very disappointed. Miz is very happy. He's celebrating. He throws his arms around Hayes. Crowd was more into this match than you would think. More than most things, frankly, on this show. And we got good stuff here from these four, but Hayes looked really good, which we desperately need to see more of here on this show. You know, I used to mock and make fun of the fact that Melo, he was the number one draft pick. Remember that last year? I'm the number one draft pick. Another reason why there never needs to be another draft. That's why I say it all the time. People still sometimes ask about the draft. Are they going to have a draft? When's the draft going to be? You don't need a draft, okay? When you are having Carmelo Hayes as your number one draft pick, and then you see what they did with him for the majority of this year, you don't need a fucking draft. Because when you treat the draft like a joke, there's no need to do one. So from the moment he was drafted to this show, they have dropped the ball on him repeatedly. And then he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, right? Where he was walking around with Dre, the necklace. Where did that go? Where did that take him? Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. So it's about time that we start to see him focused on more on this show and letting him go out there and do what he does best. He was getting himself over in this match just by wrestling. Sometimes that's all you need to do. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You have to have a good story behind it. Now, the story they're telling with him and Miz is very basic. It's very basic and very simple, but it can be very effective. This is the kind of role that Miz is very good in. That's why I say he's the best utility player they have on the roster. You can plug him in anywhere you need him, but he's a veteran guy. He could be a babyface. He could be a heel. He could be a comedy figure. He could be more serious. They are using him here in this situation to help get Carmelo Hayes over as a babyface. That is what I got out of this. And this is just the first step in the story that they are telling with these two. Now, there was a segment later on in the show. Because, again, the story here was Miz stealing his glory, stealing his thunder away from him. But later in the back, Nick Aldis was speaking to the Motor City Machine Guns. I would hope that the Machine Guns were there asking him, why did you fly us into work if you had no match for us? I don't know. We couldn't really pick up on what the nature of their conversation was. But as they're talking, we had Carmelo Hayes walk in. He interrupted. He wanted to know, what do I need to do to get a shot at the United States Championship? Miz interjected. He apologized. I apologize for my partner. And Carmelo's like, no, don't apologize for me. And Miz is like, no, Mr. Aldis, I'm very sorry about this. Now, Chris Sabin took offense because Miz made a comment about how, I know you weren't doing anything. Obviously, that he was having a conversation with the Machine Guns. So Sabin said that, you know what? He also brought up that Miz has been manipulating Carmelo Hayes. And Sabin looks at Hayes and he goes, are you him or are you his? Pointing to the Miz. So this led to Aldis scheduling the Machine Guns to take on Carmelo Hayes and the Miz on next week's show. So again, it's a very simple story here. Carmelo Hayes is the kind of guy that you need to promote, that you need to put some of your muscle behind. If you are going to push him, then push him. If you think he's a number one draft pick, then prove it. Let him go out there and let him do what he does. Give him the opportunity to get over. He will either get over or he won't get over. He was already getting over tonight in this one match on a show where there wasn't a whole lot that felt like it was getting over. So I don't care what your opinion is of Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes is a super talented guy. Did very well for himself in NXT. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got a lot of talent. And there's potential for him to be so much more than he is right now. Certainly someone at a United States Championship level, I would say so. And where he goes from there, who knows? But to not even give him the opportunity and to just have him sitting in the back and sitting on the back burner for over a year, like, it doesn't make any sense to me why you call these people up if you don't intend to use them to their full potential. I mean, he wasn't some schlub in NXT. He's a former NXT champion. Hasn't been treated like one on the main roster. So when did he get drafted? Was that May of last year? It's August of 2025. It's about time they try something with this guy. One of the few positives about this show tonight. Now backstage, Tiffany Stratton was approached by Kiana James, who offered her services, including the benefit of, oh, you get your own custom pink world championship. Stratton refused her services, and then she walked off. Meechan then appeared and said that she had Julia next. And Kiana said that this was under advisement. That was the last we saw of Tiffany Stratton on this show. Joe Tessitore updated us from ringside and said there was no medical update on the condition of the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, after the vicious, heinous attack at the end of last week's show by Drew McIntyre when he kicked him into the announce desk. I mean, they went way over the top this week to make it feel like we might not see Cody Rhodes for a while. We don't even have a medical update on this guy. He could be fucking dead for all we know. Because Drew McIntyre gave him a Claymore kick through the bottom part of the announce desk. Oh, no. So, yeah, no medical update on him. But that led into Drew McIntyre coming to the ring for a promo. So, well, actually, I mean, look, at least we had a top name on this show who actually was on the show tonight and showed up to work. McIntyre talked about people asking why he did what he did last week to the WWE champion. He asked for the clip to be replayed again, which brought a smile to his face. McIntyre asked us to listen closely, as he said that apparently he did not attack Cody Rhodes. He then asked Joe Tessitore about a medical update on Rhodes and how very strange it is that we haven't heard anything. And he said that he started ranting about management hiding Cody's medical condition. McIntyre said that he wasn't mad at Cody, but rather he felt sorry for him because of how much he put the weight of the fans and the weight of management on his shoulders. McIntyre noted that he was once in Cody's position, but he moved on afterwards. He noted that Cody was nothing without his story, and he said that he actually didn't attack Cody at all last week. In fact, it was the other way around. Cody attacked him. And at that point, he walked us through what happened. He went spot by spot what happened on the show the previous week in the main event. He even went outside the ring to illustrate. He threw me here, then he threw me into the post. So he's taking us step by step. I thought I'm watching JFK here. Step by step, he's showing us what happened, putting his own spin on it. And he noted that he only defended himself. And that while Cody was good at pissing people off, McIntyre said he was very good at taking people out. And Drew said that he's not a bad guy, but he will do very violent things if provoked. If you provoke me, I'm the real nightmare. And then he tossed the microphone down and McIntyre looked into the camera and he told Cody to get better soon. Again, the way they're making this Claymore out to be something so devastating that we need to have medical updates on Cody Rhodes is a little over the top. Because really, I mean, if you go back and watch it, it was a cool visual in the moment. But really, what did he do? You know what I mean? What did this man do? Maybe I'm just like, I'm at a point where everyone's finishing move has been kicked out of so many times that when you hit your finishing move on somebody, like unless you hit your finishing move on the guy and you knock him off of like a 10-foot stage or you knock him into a pit of needles or something awful like that. Like, really, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it's not that big of a deal. But they're trying to make it like a big deal. Cody might be gone for a while. There was no challenge issued here. There was no mention of Paris. There was no mention of, I'll see you for the WWE Championship. Obviously, that's where we're going with this. I still think it's going to happen in Paris. I wouldn't be shocked to see Cody back on the show next week. I've heard nothing about whether or not Cody has gone off to film Street Fighter. I mean, maybe he has. If he has, he's going to be gone for a few weeks. Last report I saw was that he wasn't going to miss as much time as Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is supposed to be out from September 2nd until September 26th. So that's almost a full month. Does that mean Cody is only filming for 2 weeks? Does he have a cameo in this movie? He might not even have any dialogue in this movie. So I don't know. I don't know what his status is. I don't know if he's off filming yet. Maybe he'll be on the show next week. Maybe he'll be on the show the following week. But Clash in Paris is on August 31st, very end of the month. If he's not on the show next week, that makes it a hell of a lot less likely they're going to put that title match together in 1 week's time. Now, there's always the unannounced PLE on September 20th that WWE is going to be adding, so they could always do the match there. But I'm going to assume that we'll get this title match in Paris. But if we do, we didn't hear anything about it tonight. Maddie says, it cannot be called a finisher anymore. There really is no real finisher anymore. Is there a finishing move in wrestling that you can think of right now, today, WWE or AEW, that truly nobody ever kicks out of? Like, maybe once, but I mean, like, it is protected. Like, it's a very short list. I think of the one-winged angel, right, when Kenny Omega hits it. Sheamus and the bro kick is still very protected. What else? Are there any other moves that you would put on that list? It's a very short list. I can't think of too many. So in the back, Byron Saxton spoke with the Street Profits and B-Fab. Before they could answer his questions, Solo and the MFTs, my God, I said they were all over this show. They were all over this show. All over, like a sexually transmitted disease. So they walk into the camera shot. Solo says that we're going to be the ones taking the tag team titles from the Wyatt Six. Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, they made fun of them a little bit, and they remind everybody that they still want the smoke. You know, they've been saying this for 5 years now, that they want the smoke. It's very bad for your health. Should probably stay away from the smoke. Although I guess it depends what kind of smoke we're talking about here. Tala Tonga was acting very distracted by something. They're like, are you okay? He's like, yeah. And then the MFTs walked away. But then we saw off in the distance in the background, lurking in the shadows in his mask. Is it it's the rabbit mask, right? Is Eric Rowan of the Wyatt Six. He's got the giant hammer, the mallet with him. So that led into the Street Profits against Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Jackhammer. You can't name moves from 30 years ago. I'm talking about modern day wrestling, modern day WWE and AEW. You're all naming, look at this bonsai drop. You're all naming old moves, unless you're talking about Nia Jax. But I've seen people a couple times kick out from Nia's bonsai. The insane elbow. Maybe. Black mass. That's a good one. I accept. Pac's finisher. Yeah, my God. Where's he been? It's always hurt. Poor Pac. But when Pac hits the black arrow, usually you don't kick out from that. That is true. So the Street Profits against DIY. Stop me if you've heard this before. Montez Ford avoided a chop block from Ciampa. He tagged in Angelo Dawkins. Outside the ring, Candice LeRae got herself involved. That allowed Ciampa to catch Dawkins with a kick. So the action picked up after the commercial. Montez soared with a high crossbody from the top on Ciampa. The Profits set up for their double-team blockbuster on Tommaso Ciampa when Candice LeRae ran over and shoved B-Fab into the ring steps. which caused a distraction. From there, DIY rallied. Gargano had Ford pinned until Dawkins broke it up. Short time later, Gargano went for a suicide dive, but Ford caught him before he could actually come through the ropes. It was either a punch or an uppercut. I think it was a punch. So that stopped him in his tracks. And at that point, we had Candice LeRae. She jumped from the top rope, and she nailed a Hurricane Rana to Montez Ford, which sent him off the apron, crashing into Angelo Dawkins on the floor. Gargano got Ford back in the ring and DDT'd him before covering him, only for two. B-Fab, at this point, she recovered. She threw a very clunky-looking, actually it looked like a brogue kick, on the outside at Candice. Dawkins hit sky-high in the ring on Ciampa, and then Montez Ford followed up with a top rope frog splash, and Dawkins covered Ciampa for the win. Solid stuff here. I mean, I feel like these two teams, they've worked together so many times. This basic match, and that's what it was. It was a basic match, but this basic match they had here, they could have this match in their sleep, right? Because they're great. They've worked together so many times. For them, this was easy. But I'm tired of seeing it. How many times are we going to see the same two fucking teams over and over again? How many times have we seen DIY in the Street Profits this year? More times than I can count. So even this tag team division, which has, for the better part of the year, I would say, honestly been the hottest part of the show. And they went out there at SummerSlam, they had that incredible tables, ladders, and chairs match, and it's like they didn't have any plan to really follow up on it. The Wyatt Six retained their titles, everybody is still chasing them, but it's the same teams going at it every single week. And there's not enough variety here in the story to justify rematching these people over and over again. Now, what they can do is they can run this back again, but this time throw the ladies in there and have a six-person tag match, have Candice and B-Fab get involved. That's about all they can do. Otherwise, I'd like to see them go their separate ways and try something different. I mean, you probably run into the same issue with a lot of the other teams because they've all been feuding with each other all year long. So it's just a matter of finding the right story. The story is that they're all trying to take the belts from the Wyatt Six. And even the Wyatt Six right now is not terribly interesting. So they're still trying to convince us that the tag team division is red hot. I think that's what Joe Tessitore said at one point. It's red hot. It was red hot. It's not red hot anymore. It's starting to run on fumes. So maybe they need to call a new team up from NXT and inject some new blood into the division. Right? You drop a new face in there, sometimes that's all it takes. But there's nothing story-wise that's compelling about seeing these teams over and over again like this. We got a video package recapping the events that led up to John Cena and Logan Paul taking place at Clash in Paris. Cena is back on the show, by the way, next week in Dublin. That's going to be the first time ever that they have had television in Dublin, Ireland. I certainly hope they give the Dublin fans something more interesting and exciting than they've given them the last 2 weeks. Because they've never had television before, I would certainly hope they get a really good show next week. I'm already wondering what songs they're going to be singing. Because you know they're going to be singing some kind of song. I don't know if they'll come up with something new. You want a great Irish tune. Makes me think of Sinners. I can't get that song out of my head. So in the back, Byron Saxton then spoke with R-Truth, who looked like he had little Jimmy back with him. I saw he was like motioning. I thought he was like motioning for little Jimmy. I'm like, oh my God, we're back to this again. We had a promising direction with this man and we're back to this shit, right? So I'm watching this. And Truth is acting like his old goofy self when Aleister Black walks up. And Black asks if Truth is this excited for his other friend, Damian Priest. Truth all of a sudden got serious, and he got up in Black's face, and he asked how Black is going to tell him who he is. Black says, "There you are, Mr. Killings. I'll see you next week." And he walked off. So it looks like they're leaning into Truth, maybe having like a split personality gimmick, where he'll go back and forth between goofy Truth and more serious Truth, like R-Truth and Ron Killings. That's at least better than just having him revert back to the same shit he was doing before. Just because John Cena no longer is a heel, that doesn't mean that you know, R-Truth has to go back to doing the same bland stuff that he was doing previously. This could work. At least we'll still have some of that serious side of him. That's my hope anyway. But their match is official. They'll be wrestling in Dublin next week. Elsewhere in the back, Sami Zayn, Jacob Fatu, Jimmy Uso. They're in the locker room. They're getting ready for the main event. Sami thanked Jacob for saving him earlier. Jacob was sitting down, right? Sami and Jimmy were all chummy. Sami's like, man, it's been a long time. When was the last time you and I tagged, right? And Jimmy's like, oh, it's been a minute. Jacob's just sitting there, all stoic. So like I said, Sami thanks him for saving him. Now Jacob gets up in his face and goes, I didn't save you. I saved him. He's my brother. I don't even know you. And Sami pointed out, he goes, well, he's my brother too. And if you're cool with him, then you're cool with me. Are we good? And Jacob looked at Sami and said, or Jimmy rather, and told Jimmy, make sure he doesn't get in my way. And then he goes, yada mean. And he left, and Sammy's like, yada mean. What does that mean? So that was that. And that led into our main event, which was Sami Zayn, Jimmy Uso, and Jacob Fatu against the MFTs. Solo Sikoa, Tonga Loa, and JC Mateo. Yada mean. How do you spell that, by the way? Is it Y-A-D-A-M-E-A-N? Is that how we're spelling it? JC Mateo, he used his strength to run Sami into the heel corner as Tonga Loa entered the match. The great Tonga Loa. He threw Sami outside. He caused a distraction so that Tala Tonga could mow him down with a big boot. That took us into a commercial after commercial after commercial. Fatu took a hot tag after the commercial, and he walked all over all three men. Fatu held the top rope down while Jimmy dove over it and onto JC Mateo on the floor. Fatu then put down Tonga Loa with a pop-up Samoan drop. And then Fatu went up top, and he had initially kicked Solo away because Solo came over. Then he went for a swanton bomb. As he came down, though, Tonga Loa got the knees up. Solo tagged in, hit a top rope splash on Fatu, but only for a near fall. So Jacob reluctantly tagged out because he was in need of help. And he's looking up and Sami wants the tag, so he reluctantly makes the tag. Sami comes in, he drops Solo with a blue thunder bomb, but pin got broken up. The match broke down at that point. Jacob took Tala Tonga off the apron with a super kick, and then Jacob dove through the ropes, out of the ring, into Tala Tonga, which knocked the big guy over the announce desk and took him out of the picture. Back inside, Sami dropped Solo in the corner with an exploder, and then he connected on a haluva kick. And for the second week in a row, Sami Zayn got the drop on the United States champion. He pinned Solo Sikoa. And then after the match was over, Jimmy hugged Fatu and Sami and then motioned for the two of them to come together. Jacob was a little hesitant at first, but then Fatu and Sami shook hands and they hugged, and the babyfaces celebrated to close out the show. If we get Sami Zayn against Solo Sikoa in Paris for the United States Championship, I'm assuming where is SmackDown actually? I don't know if SmackDown the Friday before is also in Paris, or maybe Lyon. It's possible that if they do a U.S. title match between them, which, I mean, obviously they're going to do it, that they'll do it on TV. I would think that match, though, it's a title match. I also think that, you know, being in Paris, and Sammy's French-Canadian, isn't he? Is he French-Canadian? I don't know. Kevin Owens is French-Canadian. But I'm sure Sami is going to get a great reaction there. I would have it on the actual main card. I don't know if they will or not. But the point is, the fact that Sami Zayn has now pinned the United States champion twice in a row does not bode well for his chances of actually winning the title. And I agree with that, as much as it pains me to say it, that when they meet, Solo Sikoa is going to beat Sami Zayn. Because Sami Zayn, literally tonight on this show, just announced that, hey, guess what? I'm on SmackDown now. I would not immediately wrap a belt around his waist, right? Take a little bit of time, even if it's just one more show, one more month, before you put the title on him. You don't have to put it on him right away, right? Tell that story, let him struggle for it a little bit. It looks to me like the end result will likely be him getting the United States Championship, but I wouldn't be doing it in their first match. So whenever that match happens, I'm just saying I don't think there'll be a title change, and I don't think I would do the title change there. But as far as what the main event accomplished, it established Sammy again as a credible threat to the U.S. title. That's number one. Number two, it got Jacob Fatu in the main event again, something that we need to see more of. And as time goes on and we see Jacob in these main events, people will get used to seeing him as a main event player on this show. Not that it's going to take a whole lot to get buy-in from the audience. I mean, they're already cheering for him. They already love the guy. He's going to be huge for them, right? Long term. So it was good to get him in the main event as well. And it was nice to have a main event that did not have a fucking disqualification finish, because we've had far too many of those in the last few weeks in these main events. But on the whole, I look back at this show and it was another largely boring, uninspired episode of SmackDown that was made even worse by the fact that there were so many big names that were absent from the show. You didn't have John Cena. I mean, again, for whatever, Logan Paul knows how to get heat, and he's in a key match at Clash in Paris, right? He should be on the show. He was not on the show. John Cena was not on the show. Brock Lesnar, we're not going to see until September 12th. He's not even being advertised until September 12th and September 19th. That'll lead into whatever that pay-per-view, PLE, is going to be on September 20th. So we're not going to see him for a month. So you can put him on the side. And Cody Rhodes wasn't there either. Damian Priest, he's out, right? He's all banged up. The women's title stuff, I mean, don't even get me started again on the women's title stuff. I think I've already said my piece on that. There just is not a lot to get excited about on this show right now. And I don't want to say, oh, it's summer funk. It's the summer blues. This has been a recurring problem with this show now for a while. And it will go through these periods where you may have a really great show. You may have a really exciting string of shows. And then it goes right back to this. But this, SmackDown has not been this bad in a while. Like, these shows, it's not even like they're so bad that they're entertaining in like a good way, right? The worst kind of show that you could have is a boring show where when it's over, it's like, yeah, I mean, the things were okay. They were decent. They were solid, but like, that's it. You don't really have anything else to say about it. That's the worst kind of show. And there's no excuse for it. With the talent roster they have, there's no excuse for it. This is squarely on creative. This is squarely on Triple H's shoulders here. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. It's like he's trying to top himself every week that goes by. How can I make the show even more boring than I did the week before? And that should never be the case. 2 weeks in a row of this now. I have high hopes that our good people in Dublin are going to help make that show next week a lot more fun than it's been the last few weeks, but it's really not up to them. They could be as loud and as raucous as they want to be, but you still have to give them a good show. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. These days, it feels like there's advice for everything. Eat this, don't eat that. Try a cold plunge in the morning, it'll make you feel good. Try this sleep technique, on and on and on and on. But how do you know what actually works for you? When it comes to your mental health and wellness and all the information that we're overwhelmed with just on social media alone, it can be tough to separate fact from fiction with this stuff and what to do. That's why it's so important to stick with trusted resources, like talking to live therapists who can give you personalized recommendations and help you break through all the noise. That's where BetterHelp Online Therapy can be a game changer. Therapy offers a ton of benefits for your mental health, from coping skills to stress management, to tips for strengthening your relationships and how to remove barriers to forming new ones. It can also help you cope with and overcome issues stemming from past traumas in your life, no matter how big or small. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people across the globe. And many of those people can attest to how much it's worked for them, which is why BetterHelp has an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5. Based on over 1.7 million client reviews. It's also convenient. You can join a session with a therapist with the click of a button. You can switch therapists at any time. BetterHelp makes it all very simple. BetterHelp is that trusted resource that you need in your life right now, especially if any of this is resonating with you. We all have issues that we deal with on a daily basis, but for some people, it's more serious than others. It could be affecting your quality of life. Now you have the power to do something about it. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. SoundOff listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/solomonster. Let's take a look at this poll. 11% give the show an A grade. 17% give the show a B. 29% give the show a C. And 42.5% give this show a D. And the only reason that there's no F option is because I'm only allowed four options in these Twitter polls. Otherwise, I think F would have won out the night. But as you can see, this was a resounding D show. Can't say I disagree. I'm telling you, man, Collision. Collision is a better show than SmackDown. The way it is, that's where we are now. It's ridiculous. Read your super chats. I wish I had a better one for you guys. I really do. I wish I had a much more fun show to review, but, you know, you take them as you get them. Holiday 197, we're going to kick things off with you. By the way, we are currently sitting at 359 likes. So we need 40 more if we're going to do Be the Booker. Let's see if we can get there. But Holiday. Holiday says, hey, Solo. Which current champion in WWE, NXT excluded, do you think should lose their championship first, in your view? Solo Sikoa. I think it might end up being Dominic Mysterio, but I think it should be Solo Sikoa. Victor, buy or sell 1997 Shawn Michaels or 2000 Triple H? 2000 Triple H was the best version of Triple H of his entire career. But 1997 Shawn Michaels was just on another level. He was also probably on another planet for most of the year. That's probably what made it so much fun to watch. I'm going to buy on 1997 Shawn Michaels. 1997 Shawn Michaels was, I feel like in many ways, Shawn physically in the ring at his peak. Hollywood guy, was Sammy traded to SmackDown for War Games, or is he going for the U.S. title? I hope he gets his flowers soon. No, I think he was traded to SmackDown to go after the U.S. title, win the U.S. title. Nick Rosso, what are your thoughts on TNA moving to either A&E or CW and possibly going head-to-head with AEW on Wednesday nights? Also, do you think Naomi will vacate the women's title on Raw on Monday night? I do. I think she's going to end up having to give up the championship. I'm going to go into the TNA stuff in a lot more detail on the podcast on Sunday. So I really don't want to get, there's just too much to get into here, but I will say that there's a very particular reason why this is happening. And this has nothing to do with competition. Nothing. This is not competing. This is personal. Thank you, brother. We got Jace. Raw has a great women's division and an awful tag division. SmackDown has a terrible women's division and a stacked tag division. No lies detected there. Holiday says, do you see Chris Jericho returning to WWE to retire? Yes, I do. Shout out to Dev to Dust. Matt Fisher with the $4.99. Person one, what does IDK stand for? Person two, I don't know. Person one, OMG, nobody does. What is this, like an Abbott and Costello who's on first routine? Also, two people fell down a hole. Yeah, Green Man. The beginning of the stream, poor guy. Poor guy's been getting a workout over the last week. When you see Green Man at the beginning of the stream, you know it was a bad show. Just say that. It says two people fell down a hole. One said, it's dark in here, isn't it? The other replied, I don't know, I can't see. Was that person blonde? Probably. Charles Turner, SmackDown sucked. That being said, I really enjoyed last week's 90s music chat. Runaway by Real McCoy and Scatman are two of my go-to 90s dance songs. What about Mambo Number 5? You didn't mention Mambo Number 5. Melissa Grasso, what kind of music do Bubbles hate? Pop music. Look at Melissa with the jokes. Look at Melissa. That's actually a pretty good one. Thank you, Melissa. And I see we just hit 400 likes. So there you go. Be the Booker. On the way. Fiji Finesser. Triple H shows have been boring, but never embarrassing. Well, that's certainly a matter of interpretation. I'm sure he's had some embarrassing shows. But you know what? They don't have to be embarrassing. Boring is just as bad. Let's not justify boring shows. I hope you're not trying to justify these shows. In some weird roundabout way. Arabian Night. You think TNA will actually be a feeder system for WWE? It already is, dude. Arabian Night, it already is. It's already a feeder system for them. It's been that way for a while. It is a stepping stone to WWE. And TNA knows it, and TNA management is okay with it. That's the deal they made. It says, because at the moment, more talents have gone to AEW from TNA, i.e. Josh Alexander, Deonna Purrazzo, Speedball, and now Ace Austin. Well, some of those, like Deonna, happened before the WWE TNA partnership started. But no, it is a feeder system. Just because it's a feeder system does not mean that everybody from TNA is going to go to WWE. What it means is that WWE will be able to pick the people effectively that they want to try to prevent them from going to AEW. Now, it won't always be the case. There are people like Josh Alexander who probably had the option. He made the choice. He wanted to go to AEW. So there are exceptions to that. That's basically what TNA has become. It is a feeder system for WWE. WWE now has power over TNA. That is the deal that TNA made. That's the bargain that they made. Because they are hoping that WWE may be able to play a role in helping them get a better TV deal. You know, that WWE will also maybe allow them to use some of their talent sometimes, like they did AJ Styles at Slammiversary to sell some extra tickets. TNA is not a profitable company. So they're doing what they feel they need to do. But then I see people like Gail Kim go on social media when she's answering questions from people about what's going on here. And she's talking about, you know, TNA, you know, losing its heart. And the reason people are leaving is because TNA doesn't give them a reason to feel loyalty to the company. And there's a lot of reasons why people are leaving TNA to go somewhere else. They're probably not getting paid what they feel like they should be paid. But there are a lot of reasons why. Like I said, I'll get into this on Sunday. I got a whole spiel to get into on the sound off. Anyway, thank you. Very, very brief. Short and to the point, I guess. Thank you, guys. Everybody who sent one in, I appreciate you very much. Let's be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
It is time to be the Booker on a Friday night. What is it that CM Punk says whenever we see him on TV? Is it great? Is it great to be alive on a Monday night? Is it great to be alive with Be the Booker on a Friday night? I would say so. We start off with the Quebecers. They were in Quebec City last week for SmackDown. We should have had them pop up last week. Jacques and Pierre, the Quebecers. They're not the Mounties. And they will be taking on Imperium. Ludwig Kaiser. Man, I see Giovanni Vinci, and it just makes me very sad. But it would be a good match. Giving it the bell, but man, Vinci and Kaiser were a damn good team. What a waste. I haven't even heard about Vinci wrestling indies anywhere. Our women's Be the Booker, we have Riho. There she is. I haven't seen Riho. Last I heard, she broke her wrist, but that was like 9 months ago. It was a long time ago. I don't know where she's been. Riho and Natalia. That just doesn't do it for me. Main event. There he is, Dirty Dom, the man who single-handedly sold out Triple Mania tomorrow night with 19,000 seats. All gone because of Dirty Dominic Mysterio, the Intercontinental Champion, in the main event, as he will be at Triple Mania tomorrow night. Dirty Dom against the TNT. Look at this. The Intercontinental Champion against the TNT Champion, Kyle Fletcher. See, now there's a match between two young rising stars. Champion against champion. Like, if you were going to put together a WWE AEW supercard, this would be one of the mid-card matches on that show that you would have right there, right smack in the middle of the pay-per-view. Dominic and Kyle Fletcher. 2 out of 3 in Be the Booker. Not great, but not bad. Jeff says, I would love to see Riho versus Natalya. No, I would love to see Riho against the Bloodsport Natty. Not this WWE version of Natty that they don't do anything with. Bloodsport Natty. Well, I do a Triple Mania review, so I'm going to be gone tomorrow. I have a party to go to, but I am hoping that when I come home, I can play catch up with Triple Mania. And then I will talk about it on the Sound Off on Sunday. So the answer is yes. A real Forbidden Door match. That would be a real Forbidden Door match, wouldn't it? Dr. Scorpio, next week's SmackDown review is going to be under an hour. Next week's SmackDown review could potentially be earlier. I will check and see if, because it's international. So, you know, they're going on this international tour. It may be very similar to what we did in March. No, hey, Darth Panic coming in with the clutch here with the $20 super chat. Yeah, so if SmackDown is going to be airing earlier, I'll use my VPN. And maybe we'll have an earlier SmackDown review next Friday. I don't know. I don't know where it's airing, time zones and everything. I'll keep you guys posted on that. Any opportunity for me to go earlier with these reviews, I'm going to take advantage of it. Broly with the $4.99. No effort in the fact that the three most boring factions are leading the show. Like the MFTs, Secret Hervis, and Wyatt Six. I'll just stick to Raw. Yeah, I mean, the God. You know what? It's all the factions, dude. It's all the factions in WWE. Even Seth's faction at this point. I love Bron Breakker, but even Seth's faction is just, it's missing something. You know, the Judgment Day, the Wyatts, the MFTs, Secret Hervis. There's just nothing, man. There's nothing there. You have all these groups and none of them are interesting. Not a single one of them. Darth Panic. So if the rumors are true about Naomi, then this will be the second time that she has to relinquish the title. Well, right now, that's all it is. Lots of rumors out there. Nobody knows, but we're going to find out on Monday. We have to. They can't wait any longer. They've got a PLE to promote at the end of the month, and Stephanie Vaquer is guaranteed a championship match. Io Sky was supposed to get a championship match. So if the title has to be vacated, there's only one match that makes sense. You don't have to do a tournament. You don't have to do multi-person mania. Io Sky, Stephanie Vaquer in Paris, one-on-one. Inject that shit into my veins, and that's all you need to do. It's very simple. My Digimon Pro Wrestling faction is more interesting than WWE. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Yeah, WWE just doesn't know how to do interesting factions. They just don't. I think Liv getting hurt the... Well, of course, Liv getting hurt the story they were telling with Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez. Now, they'll be able to pick up with it when Liv comes back, but in the meantime, I mean, she's not going to be back for months. So they had to take things in a different direction, and it hurt. But I even when Liv was around, what Liv was doing was fine. But was it on its own? Was it making the Judgment Day this wonderfully interesting faction to watch? I mean, it was more interesting than what they're doing now. But no, I still would have felt the same way. I mean, the Judgment Day, what we're watching here is kind of a shell of what it used to be. That's what it is. Once they lost Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley, you basically ripped the guts out of the Judgment Day. What we have now is an inferior version of the group. With inferior music, too. When they changed the music, that didn't help. Also had to rebook Evolution. Because Liv got hurt. Well, Evolution turned out to be one of the best shows all year, so. They had to rebook stuff, but it didn't hurt the quality of the show. Should Drew win the WWE title from Cody early? Because Drew is great. I am all in favor of anything to shake up this show. I don't see it happening, but if they wanted to put the WWE championship on Drew, fine. Matt Fisher with the 20. Just to say meow. Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Matt is going to mosey on over to the litter box. As I mosey on over to this super chat here from Broly. WWE too lazy to get new men to the top compared to the women. It's the same men in the main event scene every year. Women are beating the men. You know, there are, I think, more so on Raw than on SmackDown. Like the stuff with Rhea and Io and the World Heavyweight Championship on that end has been infinitely better than what they have given us on SmackDown.
Off is a direction you can fuck.
I feel like that was sort of Triple H's message to the women on SmackDown. Base Beers with the $23 off super chat from The Rock. How many wrestlers are involved in this Street Fighter movie? Also, who would you cast as Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat? They've already cast Carl Urban, who I think is great casting for that role. I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't put any wrestler in that spot. I know people were like, oh, The Miz should have been Johnny Cage. No. Carl Urban is going to be a great Johnny Cage. He says L.A. Knight. No, I mean, again, I think the casting is on point. As far as wrestlers in the Street Fighter movie, I think it's just Cody and Roman, right? The other ones, they have 50 Cent is in the movie. Jason Momoa is in the movie. I don't think any other wrestlers are in the movie, to my knowledge. Broly says, Julia, Tiffany, Lyra, Steph, and for the men, only Braun. Oh, I think he's talking about women that they have gotten to the top. Well, Lyra's not at the top. Yeah, I mean they've done a very poor job as compared to the women of trying to get some of the new faces over at a high level. I don't disagree with you on that. Obviously, Bron Breakker is going places, but they're also, look, you got to throw Jacob in there. You got to put Bron and Jacob in there. Z Paul Senti with a $10 super chat says, oh, that's right. Wait, hold on, Joey. I forgot all about that. That's right. Hey, there's Vato's thing. Hiroki Goto from New Japan. He's in Street Fighter. He was cast as E Honda. I forgot about that. So we got Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, and Hiroki Goto. I think that's all of them. Z Paul says Propane has a song called The Beast is Back. It has to be Brock's new entrance. Check it out. Unless he's just a big Brock Lesnar fan and just decided to do a song for him because he's just a big Brock fan. I'm still waiting for the new Becky Lynch song to drop on Spotify. Matt Fisher says, before he died, Jerry... what did I say? Oh, The Wall from WCW, Malice. Was on fire. How far do you think he would have gone? He was on fire? Maybe he was literally on fire, but no, I wouldn't say he was on fire. How was he on fire? I mean, maybe he was getting a lot of work. I don't remember what year he passed away. I wouldn't say he was on fire, though. How far do I think he would have gone? I don't think he would have gone much further than he went. He got to work a Nitro match against Hogan, didn't he? He wasn't going to go higher than that. Base beer is LA Knight for Duke Nukem. Shake it, baby. Maybe. Aaron with the $4.99. Naya and Tiffany are trying to have more matches this year than Cena and Orton in 2009. Also, which women would you switch from Raw to SmackDown and vice versa? I mean, I hate to break up what they have with that women's division on Raw, but let me glance real quick at the roster. See what women they have on Raw, just to refresh my memory here, because there's a bunch of women that are not really actively being used. So we have on Raw, we have Asuka and Kairi and Io. We have Becky and Bayley. Actually, you know what I would do? I would move Bayley is what I would do. I would move Bayley over to SmackDown. So Bayley would be one. You've got Lyra, Rhea, Roxanne. Can't move any of them. I mean, you could move Lyra, but I wouldn't move Lyra and Bayley. So choose one and move that person, but don't move them both. And then Stephanie and Zoe, and Zoe's out for a long time. So that's the women's roster. And then Maxine and Natty. And Liv is out. Look at this. They have Kiana James still listed on the Raw roster. This is what I mean. They have not even updated this. Kiana James is on the fucking roster page for Monday Night Raw. Let me see. Who's on SmackDown? See if this is updated. SmackDown has all three members of the Secret Service, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, B-Fab, Candice LeRae, Nikki Cross, who doesn't wrestle anymore, Jade Cargill, Julia, Tiffany Stratton, and Zelina Vega and Meechan and Nia Jax. Naomi. Naomi is listed on this fucking Naomi is listed on the SmackDown roster page. Need I say more? My God. I don't know why it takes so long for them to update their friggin' roster page. Broly says, have you seen Jeepers Creepers, my favorite horror movie? I did. I didn't see the sequel. Actually, I think there was more than one. I like Jeepers Creepers. I wasn't expecting a Justin Long cameo in Weapons, but he was in there too. Melissa with the $4.99. What did one hat say to the other? You stay here, I'll go on ahead. God, this is like the female version of Sidro here. Only not as dirty. Thank you, Melissa. This is how much attention the women's division gets, says Roderick. Well, at least on the website. Omos is in charge of the website. Hey, if Omos knows how to do HTML and JavaScript, it's not like they have him doing anything else. I remember when I first started doing websites, like I did one for my old eFed back in the day. Man, there was a program called, it was a free program called AOL Press. So I started using that to edit code. But a lot of the time, I was editing HTML in a fucking notepad text document, line by line. So I knew all the color codes and all that shit. I'd forget a bracket and everything would be all fucked up. I'd have to go find where the missing bracket was. Good times. Surely somebody could teach Omos how to do that. Have I ever seen the 1977 Hills Have Eyes movie? No, I saw the remake. I did not see the 1977 one. GeoCities. What was the other one? It was, I think there was another one. But yeah, I actually never had a GeoCities page. I had an AOL page. I did not have a GeoCities page. Yeah, on dial-up, no less. Yeah. That was always fun. As soon as somebody would pick up the phone, I would be disconnected. Be like, Mom, don't pick up the phone! Yes, AOL dial-up is ending. I believe as of the end of this month, AOL will be discontinuing its dial-up service. Finally. After all these years, there were still some people using it. Probably, you know, elderly people. They are finally discontinuing it. Have I seen Superman? It's already on digital, really. No, I did not see it. I have no interest in seeing it. I'm not a Superman guy. I'm a Batman guy. Yes, hey, people are shocked that AOL is still on. It's. I mean, it won't be in a little bit, but yeah, no, it was still there. Believe it or not. I still have some of my AOL discs that I used to get. Old floppy disks. God, that noise it used to make. It's like a dying animal. Aaron with the $4.99. If the streak has to end, which Undertaker opponent in hindsight would you have picked to win instead of Brock? I would pick Orton at WrestleMania 21. of the existing people that he wrestled, CM Punk in WrestleMania 29. Base Beer says, have you seen Hereditary or Midsommar? You know, I had people telling me I should see Midsommar. Did I see Hereditary? I don't think I saw Hereditary. No, I saw The Descent. That's what I saw. No, I didn't see either one. Winston Slip, buy or sell, Anaconda, 1997, or Deep Blue Sea, 1999. I don't want to say that it was a great movie, but Anaconda still lives rent-free in my head, especially the scene with John Voight where he gets swallowed up by the snake still lives right up here in my head. So I'll assume you're excited for The Batman 2 when it comes out in 2027. I will as soon as I watch The Batman. I still haven't watched it yet. I finally got around to seeing In a Violent Nature. So just to let you guys know, I'll have a little horror update for you at the beginning of the sound off. I saw a bunch of horror movies this week. And I'm not talking about it now. I'm going to save my thoughts for the beginning of the podcast on Sunday. I'll give you a little update there. A little combined review without any spoilers being given away. We 30 minutes to down. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, WWF at the time had this AOL keyword. And I loved it. I loved going to that section. It was the coolest thing in the world, man. Oh, my God. There's a WWF section on AOL. And then they had the download galleries where you can download photos, like JPEG images. You could download WAV files, which usually were like 10-second clips of the entrance music in just horribly compressed format. And I would download these JPEG images, probably of Sonny. And you would just sit there staring at a mosaic as each pixel would finally, you know, come into view. You'd have to let each pixel load. God, that was horrible. But those Sonny photos at the time were so worth it. What happened? What the hell happened? Loose Cannon, 20 years ago today, we got the famous Shawn Michaels Montreal promo on Raw. Remember how much heat HBK got that night? Oh, I remember. That's why it's on my list of the top 9 greatest promos of all time. And if you want to know where I ranked it, go check out the list. There's a whole playlist up on the channel. And each one ranked. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Coming out of SummerSlam last week, there was a wrestler in the news. I won't say who, but he was talking about his hair loss and how much it really affected him and his quality of life and how he wished he would have taken steps to address the issue years ago. And you can understand why. You know, it's a cosmetic business that they're in. This person's on TV all the time, very visible. But there are thousands of men out there going through the exact same thing who are not public figures. They are not on television in front of millions of people, but they can still feel that same shame. And they shouldn't, because there's nothing to be ashamed of. Thinning hair is a problem that affects lots of people. And if you happen to be one of those people, you need to know that Hims offers 100% online access to prescription treatments for regrowing hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. So you could see a fuller head of hair on your head by fall. Hims offers access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims brings expert care straight to you, making it super convenient, with 100% online access to personalized treatments to get to where you need to be. There's no hidden fees, there's no surprise costs, just real personalized care on your schedule. Think of Hims as your digital front door that gets you back to your old self with simple access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your free online visit. hims.com/solomonster. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. We got Broly. Watch Running Scared 2005. Fantastic movie. I might have to do that. HBKC83, in your opinion, does it matter if a wrestling manager is taller or shorter than the wrestler he is managing, and why? I do think it matters. I do. And it just matters because just visually, it doesn't work. I mean, it depends on what kind of wrestler you're trying to push. If you're trying to push like a top heel, for example, or even a mid-card heel, but like you're trying to push a heel and not like a chicken shit heel who is supposed to be laughed at or booed, it just doesn't work. If you have, let's say, a 6 foot tall heel who's managed by fucking Tala Tonga, like it's not going to work. It's just not. Did I ever burn music to CDs on my computer? Of course. I used to burn CDs quite often. Play them in the car when my car had a... Well, actually, my car still has a CD player. That's how old my car is. No Bluetooth, but I got a CD player. Duff's Vids. Have you or anyone here seen Queen of the Ring yet? If so, is it worth buying or renting? Chat, I leave that up to you. I have not seen Queen of the Ring, so I can't vouch for it. Matt Fisher, watch Running Scared 1987. So I got one person telling me to watch Running Scared 1987. I got one person telling me to watch Running Scared 2005. Is 2005 like a reboot? Yeah, Queen of the Ring has been on, I think, digital now for a while. Yeah, Deputy Dog says, imagine Giant Gonzalez the manager and Harvey Whippleman the talent. Yeah, it doesn't really work, does it? It doesn't really work. Base beer is buy or sell Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby. I got to buy on the Exorcist. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Darth Panic. Alien Earth. That's on Hulu, right? Yeah, I got to go back and it's been so many years since I've seen the original Alien. I want to at least rewatch the original. I don't know if you have to watch the second movie. But I think with this new Alien TV series that just came out, I think the director may have said somewhere that you should watch the first and maybe the second one and just forget the other ones. So before I sit down and watch it, it's like the Penguin show. Like if I'm going to watch that Penguin show on HBO Max, I need to watch the Batman first. So I know I have to catch up on that stuff. Have I ever seen 1408? What's 1408? I don't know what that is. Have I seen the new Fantastic Four movie? Yes, I did. I enjoyed it. With Pedro Pascal. I didn't like it as much as Weapons, though. Charles Turner, Iron Mike Sharp versus Steve Lombardi, Jobber. Jobber be the BKR? Jobber be the BKR? What does that mean? I'm going with Iron Mike Sharp. Iron Mike Sharp was a very entertaining job guy. You always knew that it was him in the ring when you would hear the screams. You would hear the grunts. Set up, that's Mike Sharp. Melissa says, I think 80s horror is the best. 80s horror had the greatest practical effects. And in particular, I think of The Thing. I think of Fright Night. Even RoboCop. Like, those movies back then, and Rob Bottin was just the king of the practical effects. I just find the practical effects to be far more, like, scary and disturbing than, you know, CGI. Like, I'm a practical effects guy. And the 80s had a lot of movies like that. So you go back and you watch, a lot of them really have held up well over the years. You know, The Thing has held up well. RoboCop has held up well. Some movies don't, but I think a lot of them do. Oh, The Fly. Of course, my God, The Fly. You talk about disturbing. Holy shit. How could I forget The Fly? Ugh. That's creepy. Where does John Carpenter rank on your best horror filmmakers list? Number one, he's my favorite. He's my favorite director. I just love the vibe, the music, the feel of a lot of his movies, right? They're not all favorites of mine, but enough of them are. And it's one of those situations where when his movie comes on, like, you can just tell this is a John Carpenter movie. I mentioned RoboCop, like Paul Verhoeven is another one. Like, you could just tell, okay, this is a Paul Verhoeven movie. Some people you could just tell. Tarantino's another one. My favorite JC movie is They Live. Well, mine is the original Halloween and The Thing. Those are the two for me. Those are the two for me. But They Live is a fun movie, became a cult classic. And then he had some movies that are not that popular that I enjoy. He did a movie called Body Bags, I think back in 93, which was actually supposed to be an anthology series, I think, on Showtime, but got canceled. So they just ended up making it a movie. So I enjoyed that one. Ghost of Mars. You know, look, I'm not going to say it's a great movie, but I enjoy it. You know? Escape from New York, Escape from LA. Yeah, anyway, I saw some good horror movies this week. Again, I'll talk about those on the sound off, and I got to add more to my playlist. Haven't gotten to see enough good ones. You know, there was another one that came out last year. I don't know if it's a horror film. I guess maybe it is. Body horror, I guess, is what it's considered. But I heard a lot of good things about, and it might have won some awards with Demi Moore, the Substance. I heard good things about that movie. I know that came out last year. I have that. I've added that to my list of things to watch. Dr. Scorpio, SmackDown is so boring that we're spending almost the next hour talking about movies and other things. Are you going to tell me that this isn't more interesting than SmackDown? We spent an hour talking about music last week. Now it's movies. Next week it'll be food. Anything to avoid talking SmackDown for longer than I have to. Base Beerus, who was worse, Ralph or Richie Aprile? Richie was a real piece of work. Ralph caused more chaos, but Richie, there was just nothing redeeming about Richie. At least Ralph was funny. Richie was just a stone-cold asshole. Ralph had his funny moments, at least. I smoke a lot of weed with $4.99 in Super Chat. Ryback return is what we need. Retiring John Cena, then unifying both world titles en route to WrestleMania challenging for the tag team titles. It appears as if he has indeed been smoking a lot of weed tonight based on the substance of that Super Chat. Pass some around. No love for candy, but you know what? I just was never a Candyman guy. I was never a Candyman guy. Maybe I should give it another shot. I think I may have watched the first one many, many years ago. I just barely even remember anything about it. Maybe I should give it another shot. But you know, I was never a Candyman guy. I was never a Lawnmower Man guy. Final Destination. Scream. I love Scream. Oh, he's got a second half of the Super Chat here from I Smoke a Lot of Weed. So Ryback unifies both world titles en route to WrestleMania, challenging for the tag team titles and bringing out mystery partner Great Khali as they win the tag team titles and hand Khali the world title. And we have Ryback and Khali as our world champ. So basically a modern day two-man power trip, but with Ryback and the Great Khali. I think we may need to have an intervention for our friend, I Smoke a Lot of Weed. Because we care about you. And there are limits to how much of this stuff that you should be doing. Evidently, you have exceeded that limit. Base Beer is, remember Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates? I do, and I remember Vince Vaughn in the second season of True Detective. Oddly enough, I saw the second season of True Detective before I saw the first season, and I enjoyed it. And I would tell people, like, oh, I enjoyed season two, and they're like, what, are you out of your mind? Like, oh my God, it sucked. It's so inferior to season one. Then I saw season one, and yes, of course, season one is the best, but I think it was better to do it the way that I did it, because I was able to appreciate season two without being tainted by the greatness of season one. And then season three, I never got to. So I don't know if that's worth watching. Tony Todd in the remake of Night of the Living Dead was amazing. Didn't Tony Todd have, I think, the last movie role? I know he was sick at the time when he filmed it, but I think he had a cameo in one of the, or maybe more than one, but he did a Final Destination movie, but like the last scene that he ever filmed, because I saw the clip on YouTube, and it's like he gives this very inspirational speech almost to the other like people in the scene. And I think that was the last thing he ever filmed before he passed away. favorite animated movie, Solo? Toy Story. And if you want to go 2D animation, like traditional animation, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? But I got to go Toy Story on that. Yeah, that was literally his good. It felt like he was saying goodbye. Because it was, I think it was something like, you know, appreciate life because it'll be over before you know it, or say, like, it was a very inspirational message. And I think they said, like on the set, like it felt like his way of saying goodbye. Nord says the channel has 56.7 million views. Talking about this channel? That's amazing. Thank you, brother. Bass Beerus, Prince or Phil Collins? I got to go Phil Collins. And Matt Fisher, you should have... You should have I assume that means listen. I don't know what that word is. Lasatney? You should have Lasatney to Charlie Parker. He's amazing. Solomonster is a Jessica Rabbit merchant. Jessica Rabbit, man, she had it going on more than Mother Wayne. I was a big Jessica Rabbit guy. Darth Panic says he's never seen any of the Toy Story movies. Well, you need to do something to fix that, my friend. Best 80s movie is The Princess Bride. Can't tell you how many times I watched that as a kid. That and The Goonies. I had the VHS tapes, man. I must have watched those dozens of times. Be the Booker, Jessica Rabbit versus Mother Wayne. Oh, don't make me choose. Anyway, good stuff. And in fact, this was far more entertaining than SmackDown. I figured it would be. It wasn't going to take a whole lot of effort. But hopefully you guys were entertained. I will be live on Monday night for the Raw Post Show. But before that, we have episode 925. That'll be dropping later in the afternoon, maybe midday, on Sunday. So keep your eyes peeled for that on all your usual podcast platforms, and share and comment and all that good stuff. And hit that like button here on this video on your way out. Thank you again for 88,000 subscribers this week. Holiday gets in one last super chat, says, I recommend watching Cube, 1997. It should be more mainstream. Great movie. I will look into that. I don't know what it's about. I don't know if that's a horror movie, but I will look into it. Solo's going to be busy watching. The reason my watch list is so long and there's so much on there is because I never seem to leave myself enough time to actually sit around and watch a fucking 2.5 hour movie. So the list has grown between TV shows and movies. The list has grown quite a bit. Actually, let me see. Hold on a second before I leave. Let me see if I have the list here. I've been keeping... Well, I won't read the entire list to you, but I've jotted down a bunch of stuff. John Wick. I've never seen a John Wick movie. I have John. Now, I don't like animals, cats or dogs being harmed in movies. And I heard that could be an issue there. So I don't know about that, but that's on my list. There's a TV show on Netflix called Travelers that looked kind of interesting that I jotted down the name of. What else did I jot down here? The Batman, obviously. There's a TV show called Orphan Black that I've heard really good things about. I have that on my list. And Girl from Nowhere on Netflix, which I think is a Korean show. There's a Korean, it's like a historical zombie drama on Netflix called Kingdom. I heard about that one. Arcane. Somebody asked me before about animated movies and animated shows. I know there's a show called Arcane. I want to check that out. The Boys. Tulsa King. There's The Substance. I mentioned The Substance. When Evil Lurks is another movie I heard about. And Strange Darling is a movie that came out last year. So that isn't everything, but that's some of the stuff that I have on my list. So I got a lot to catch up on. As you can tell. I smoke a lot of weed, says Big Show and Kane come out to face them the Raw after. He's still going on with this scenario. He's still going on with this scenario. Big Show and Kane against Ryback and Kali. What seventh circle of hell did you pull this out from? Oh, and there's another one. There's a David Cronenberg movie that I never saw, believe it or not, Videodrome. I don't know how I missed that one, but I got to watch Videodrome. Cabin in the Woods. Yeah, I saw Cabin in the Woods many years ago. Jake with the $6. Good morning, Solo, from England. We'll listen later. We'll be traveling for 3 hours to watch my soccer team, who have not won in their last 14 games. Well, your soccer team and my Mets have something in common because the Mets have lost 14 of their last 16. One of the worst teams in all of baseball. And Base Beer says, I still need to watch Reservoir Dogs and A Bronx Tale. Two fine movies. I think you'll enjoy them both. Watch Korean Old Boy, Solomonster. It's a good film. Yeah, there's a lot of Korean TV series and movies that I want to get. There's some TV shows I've watched. Like, I don't know what it is. And I found this with Squid Game, too. But there's something about these Korean television shows where they have a knack for really, like, punching you in the heart and, like, getting you very emotional. Like, they know what strings to pull on. It's actually very well done, the way they're able to do it. But then there's also Korean horror. Like, I think Train to Busan, which I saw. I think that's a Korean film. So, yeah, anything in that realm, like, I'm interested in checking out. Yeah, Squid Game was great. I love Squid Game. But if you like Squid Game, there's a show called Alice in Borderland, which is also great, and there's a third season. I didn't think there was even going to be another season. There's a third season coming out next month. So that's on Netflix. That's one I think you'll enjoy. It's in the same spirit as Squid Game. I enjoyed that one a lot. Yeah, and then we have the final season of Stranger Things coming later this year. I Smoke a Lot of Weed says, who can book worse than I? Hashtag terrible be the book. Well, I've booked a few pretty horrible matches myself. So, Dr. Scorpio, I got to finish watching Kingdom. Enjoying it so far. What about Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone? How's that one? Base Beerus says Old Boy is a must. Okay. I got it. Ever seen Bloodsport from the 80s? I saw the original Bloodsport. My Daddy Ugarte says, my wife can't stop watching Korean Netflix shows. She's obsessed. I don't blame her. It's like when I was finished watching the first season of Squid Game, it recommended all these other shows that are kind of similar. And now I'm like seeking them out. Can't get enough of them. There's another one too. It's called All of Us Are Dead. I think it's like a Korean high school zombie series where they're all trapped in like a high school. I have that on my list. Did I watch Orange is the New Black? I watched the first two seasons of Orange is the New Black when it first came out. And then I fell off. So I don't even know how many seasons they ended up having. I watched the first two. So I don't know if I should pick up with it or not. You know what I never saw? Bird Box. I never saw it. It was like that was like all the rage when it came out. Everybody was talking about Bird Box. Having your wife watch Korean Netflix is better than having your wife. Where did it go? It just vanished. EJ, it vanished. Well, since I can't finish what that message said, having your wife watch Korean Netflix is better than having your wife. That's true. That is true. We just kind of leave it there. I guess that's a true statement. Be awful if somebody else had your wife, I would imagine. Right? We're not going to stand for that. I didn't miss much. All right, so you're telling me I should not put Bird Box on my list? Bird Box sucks. Well, that's a shame. I think I'll go watch The Net with that woman from the bus. The man from Rio. Who do you see Orton feuding with next? Well, he's got a feud with Cody, but I mean, as far as who's next, I don't know. I mean, we've already seen Orton and Drew. Orton and Solo, I mean, no. Orton and Jacob could be fun, but what would be the impetus for it? Dr. Scorpio, yes, All of Us Are Dead was really good. I enjoyed it, though I kind of regret watching it late at night. LOL. Still waiting for season two, but nothing yet. Oh, God. You know, I just realized there's two episodes I never got to of the new season of Black Mirror. Have them downloaded on my iPad for the next time I fly. Next time I fly out, probably to Chicago, for House of Glory, I'll probably knock them off on that trip. I don't even remember which ones it is, because I skipped around. So like I saw the finale episode, which was that 90-minute one on the USS McAllister. Is that what it was? I saw that one, but yeah, there's still two episodes I didn't see from the new season. Ah, you resent it. Here we go. I said having your wife watch Korean Netflix is better than having your wife watch Hunting Wives. My original comment got cut off, so I resent it. Is Tremors good? Tremors is good, yes. You should watch Tremors. When life gives you tangerines is a recommendation for you from the wife. Okay. All right. There was a movie that won for Best Picture a few years ago that I'd like to see. Everything Everywhere All at Once. You want a good movie to watch, you should check out Collateral with Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise. I don't know what made me think of that, but it's a great movie. Joseph Stewart, were you a fan of Chris O'Donnell as Robin? Yeah, I liked him as Robin. I thought he was a good Robin. Kevin Bacon was great in Tremors. Kevin Bacon was in the first Friday the 13th movie. He got killed. He was also very good in Hollow Man. Joseph Stewart is more obsessed with Batman Forever than me. Wow. He loves that movie. He definitely loves that. He's got another one here. Do you remember Seal's song Fly Like an Eagle? From the Space Jam movie. I remember the song, not necessarily because it was from the Space Jam movie, but yes, I do remember the song. Yes, Kevin Bacon played John Cena in Hollow Man. Yes, he did. Then he turned heel. Matt Fisher says Batman Forever is the best one. You are incorrect, sir. That would be The Dark Knight. I mean, if you're lumping all the Batman movies in together, that would be The Dark Knight. And then right behind The Dark Knight is the first Burton Batman. Jack Nicholson was a great Joker. Second best Joker of all of them. Can't put him above Heath Ledger. But he's right below. Base Beerus says, The House That Jack Built, Matt Dillon. Great film. Anybody ever see the Stepfather? With Terry O'Quinn. Or The Dentist. With the actor. I forgot the actor's name. But he played Benny on L.A. Law. He was the dentist. Now we're getting into these B-80s, early 90s, like, horror movies. Kind of obscure, but, like, still really good. Mask of the Phantasm is the best non-Nolan Batman movie. Mask of the Phantasm is actually, that's a great animated movie that I saw. That's a great one. L.A. Law with Jimmy Smits and Blair Underwood. L.A. Law? That show was awesome. Yeah, it was. That's the L.A. Law I'm talking about. 8 seasons. All 8 seasons are on Hulu. Corbin Burnson. You want to know what's crazy? One of the title characters on L.A. Law. It's a story about a law firm in L.A., right? I know, who would have thought? But like one of the lead partners in the firm. The firm name in the show is called Mackenzie Brackman. So Leland Mackenzie, right? He's one of the managing partner, or he's the managing partner. The guy who plays Leland Mackenzie on L.A. Law is the doctor or the scientist guy. I think it was a doctor in the thing. Like when I realized it was the same person, I was kind of floored. So that was kind of crazy to find out. Have I seen The Penguin on HBO? No, I'm intentionally not watching it because I need to see The Batman first, which I still have not done. These conversations are infinitely better than SmackDown. I don't disagree. I'm in a much better mood now. Joseph says, did you know Danny DeVito was the voice of the villain Monster in Space Jam? No, I did not know that. I do know that he is the voice of Jersey Mike's Subway sandwiches. But I did not know that. Wilfred. No. You're thinking of Wilfred Brimley was also in the thing, but that's not the character I'm referring to. Have you ever played any of the Batman Arkham games? Funny you mentioned that. There was a Steam sale about a month ago. And I bought Batman Arkham Knight. I think that's the name of the game. I bought Batman Arkham Knight for like $3. But I have not installed it yet. So it's just kind of sitting there. But for that deal, I had to get in on it. I got that. I got RoboCop Rogue City. What else did I grab? I grabbed one of the Need for Speed games, and then I grabbed, oh God, what else did I grab? Oh, Mortal Kombat 11. Yeah, I grabbed them all. Haven't played any of them yet. But when I find time, they're there waiting for me, though. Justin Hesse says, Larry Drake was Benny on L.A. Law. Thank you, yes. I think Larry Drake, I think he won at least one Emmy Award for playing Benny on the show. He's very good. Can you recommend a horror movie for non-horror fans? It's actually kind of funny you asked that question. I would recommend Weapons, which is out right now in theaters. I just saw it yesterday. And I will talk about it on the Sound Off. I actually think that Weapons is a really good horror film for a non-horror fan because there actually is humor in it. It was not this sort of deep, dark horror like I thought it was going to be. I think if you're not really a horror fan, that you would enjoy watching that movie. Hunt to Kill with Steve Austin. I saw a lot of those like Steve Austin straight to DVD movies that he made. One of them was Hunt to Kill, and I love it because like the very last scene of the movie, When he kills the bad guy, like it's so dramatic, and the camera like zooms in on him, and it's like when I hunt to kill, and like it's like the most prototypical like cheesy 80s ending that you could think of, but like it's perfect. It's perfect for the film. When I hunt to kill. Oh my God, it's so bad. It's good. Ah, yes. Darkman. Hulk Hogan's least favorite movie. Eminem with the $28 super chat says, first off, thank you, Solo Fam, for keeping me positive. My aunt's funeral is next Saturday 2nd in honor of Joseph Stewart. Who's the Batman of WWE? And finally, will AEW give us a swerve in Hangman versus MJF? No, they're giving you a swerve against Okada. Come on, man. First of all, again, condolences. I know you mentioned that previously, but condolences on the passing of your aunt. The Batman of WWE. Undertaker. Seemed to make the most sense to me. Well, they give us a swerve in the main event at Forbidden Door. They're going to have to give us something because I don't see Hangman losing the title yet, but you can't just beat MJF and move on. I'll go through my Forbidden Door predictions this Sunday on the podcast. Vince is Bruce Wayne. Oh my God. Vince is the puppet from Saw. WWE Universe. WWE. Matt Fisher. This better work. Well, it popped up, so I think it did. Joseph Stewart, do you remember Raven versus Vampire's dog collar? I think he means Vampira. Was there a vampire in TNA? Vampiro's dog collar match in TNA. I do not. Also, what is your favorite scene in Space Jam? And your favorite right character in Space? I gotta tell you, I saw Space Jam after it first came out. I have not seen it since. I remember nothing of Space Jam. I have no favorite scene. I have no favorite character. Bugs Bunny is my favorite character in Space Jam. The best I could do for you. I don't remember much. It didn't leave that much of an impression on me. Base Beerus says, Coco Beware walked so Mr. Iguana could run. Well, Mr. Iguana has a dead iguana on his shoulder, but Coco, he had a live bird every time he came out to the ring. Rest in peace, Frankie. He burned up in a fire many years ago. God, those birds, man. If you have a bird, I mean, maybe it depends on what kind of bird you have. I don't know how it is with, like, cockatiels and parrots. But man, if you have a bird, like, you got to be willing to put the work. That's a lot of work. And they live forever. Like, you'll die before they do. But I have a couple of friends who have birds, and it's a lot. It's a lot of work. Joseph Stewart says, Dominic Mysterio as Batman and Liv Morgan as Catwoman. There ain't nothing about Dominic Mysterio that screams Batman. Dominic would actually be better for Robin than he would Batman. Liv Morgan could be Poison Ivy. And also, who is your top five favorite Looney Tunes? Well, you gotta have Bugs. You gotta have Daffy. You gotta have Sylvester the Cat. You gotta have the Roadrunner. And you've gotta have the Coyote. Why didn't Frankie just fly away? Well, because Coco told him if he did, he was going to beat that ass. So he stayed put. He's not top five, but I have to give a shout out. I have to give an honorable mention to Marvin the Martian. Joseph Stewart, do you remember Lola Bunny from Space Jam? Can't say that I do. Ah, Yosemite Sam. Yeah, not top five, but Yosemite Sam is a good one. Sylvester and Tweety. Pisco 95. Ever watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit? No doubt the greatest cartoon crossover in history. Too bad something like it will never happen again. Yeah, I commented on it earlier. I said it's outside of Toy Story, it's my favorite. Again, it's not really an anime. Okay. It's not really an animated film technically, but it's got animation in it. So I consider it to be an animated film. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. What are you doing to me? These Bree modes. Marvin the Martian was the referee in Space Jam? Question mark. You're asking me in the form of a question, Joseph. I have no idea. I'm relying on you for that information. Eminem says, what's your funniest booking that you did on Be the Booker? I think you already know my favorite. You versus Goldberg in a scaffold match. We do need to see that at HOG. Yeah, no, we really don't. I'm sure it would sell tickets, but we really don't need to see that. Thankfully, he's retired now. Naya is about the one person that will work with Tiffany. It feels like it, doesn't it? Maybe nobody else wants to work with her. I don't know. I don't know why they keep going back to her and Naya. I really don't. Base Beerus says, this better work. Another Be the Booker. Matt Fisher. Actually, Base Beerus with the 25. And then Matt Fisher with the 1999 just put us 10 out of 10. I wasn't even paying attention to that. I was so engrossed in the conversation here that we just hit a bonus round of Be the Booker. Do you believe this? Matt says, do you remember Tiny Toons? Of course. I remember Animaniacs, too. They had a very catchy song. And Retro KOH, if Space Jam 2 was a pro wrestling-themed movie and you were the booker, who's going over and why does it have to be Bugs Bunny? Well, because Bugs is like Hogan. He's got creative control in his contract. He's always going to go over, no matter what. But since we hit the bonus goal, I suppose that means that we are in for Be the Booker all over again. So let's go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's turn off the drum roll. It's time to be the Booker.
So listen to the sweet dulcet tones of one Noah Mark. We are headed for round number 2 of Be the Booker. I didn't think that this was going to happen. But here we are. All right. We'll throw in some stipulations for you guys. We got barbed wire steel cage match. Oh man, Tony Khan's spidey senses are tingling wherever he is right now. A barbed wire steel cage tag team match is what we're doing because we always start with the tag teams. So why should this be any different? Oh my God. I'm having deja vu. It is the Quebecers for the second time tonight. They have returned. I guess that they want to pull double duty, all right. Okay, then. In a barbed wire steel cage match, the Quebecers against Pretty Deadly. Let's try again. Ooh, all right. Solomonster's choice for the women's match. Solomonster's choice. What stipulation are we going to go with? I don't know. I wasn't expecting to have to make a choice there. Why are you giving me the choice? I can't make a decision. That's why we do this, so I don't have to make a decision. Well, I'll tell you what, Solomonster's choice is that we choose again. That's my choice. I wasn't prepared for this. CM Punk is the referee. Oh, he's going to enjoy this. We know CM Punk is a fan of the ladies. So he gets to referee this women's match here. No one is more excited than CM Punk. CM Punk is the referee. Gail Kim is on one side of the ring. It's an Impact Knockout legend there. and Gail Kim. And Gail Kim will be wrestling Charlotte Flair with CM Punk as the guest referee. Charlotte Flair and Gail Kim should be a very good match. And I'm sure CM Punk will call it right down the middle. And it is time for the main event. One more match. And it will be contested inside Big Blue. I love me some Big Blue. Yes, the Big Blue Cage. The Big Blue Cage. You love to see it. All right. Who's going inside Big Blue? John Cena. You know, as long as John Cena has been in WWE, he's never been inside the Big Blue Cage or the Big Black Cage, which they used once. Right? That was for Austin and Vince. John Cena. This is his retirement match, everybody. This is John Cena's retirement match in Big Blue against Nigel McGuinness. Nigel McGuinness, Desmond Wolfe. You know, in honor of one of my favorite Big Blue cage matches, which was Rock, Mankind, and Ken Shamrock at Breakdown in Your House, September 1998. I'm going to, since I'm the booker, I could do whatever I want. I'm going to turn this into a triple threat match. We're going to have triple threat match inside Big Blue. That's what we're going to do. John Cena, Nigel McGuinness, and Kane. This is the shittier version of Kane. God, I hate that mask. I hate that mask with every fiber of my being. But John Cena, Kane, and Nigel McGuinness. There you go. That's your main event in Be the Booker. This guy, Brian, is wishing for Repo Man. Wishing for an end to Be the Booker. Joseph Stewart, do you think that Sid could have been the top star in WCW where the companies could have been built around Sid? Sid is the top guy, sure. I mean, they were going to make Sid the world champion in 93 before he almost killed Arn Anderson. That's why he was fired. Would it have helped business? That's a different story. But sure, he was a big enough name. You could have done that. Duff's Vids, I took a date to the fish market, but she only sashimi as a friend. See, that just doesn't work.
You suck.
She only sashimi as a friend. See, I think the idea was there, but like in execution, it just doesn't work. Joseph Stewart, if Sid never broke his leg, what do you think Sid's career would have looked like? Sid's career, I mean, he had already reached his peak physically, like as an in-ring performer, so he would have continued wrestling. He might have had another run maybe in WWE, but not as like a top guy. I don't think it would have worked out. So I don't think his career would have looked any differently. I think he just would have had a little more longevity. But his career was pretty... I think his career, as far as like the zenith of his career, was already done at that point. Base Beer says, embrace the hate for that mask. Never. Well, I'll embrace the hate. I'll embrace the hate, but I will never accept it. Dupp's Vids, he's going to try again. What did the Mexican say to the white guy at the traffic light? Green, go. Gringo. See, that works better. Still not great, but I just didn't get the other one. Creflo, is Truth the last active wrestler to wrestle Liger? Oh, Luger. I thought that said Liger. To wrestle Luger. I have no idea. Did he wrestle him in TNA? Then he probably is. But he definitely wasn't the last active wrestler to wrestle Liger, I can tell you that. Joseph Stewart, did you know Sid had a match with a giant? You know, if they had cast Sid in Batman Forever, I think Joseph's brain would have just combusted. You imagine? Did you know Sid had a match with Giant Gonzalez in WCW? Oh, I remember. I believe it was a stretcher match. Oh, I remember. And were you a fan of Sarah Michelle Gellar? Yeah, I liked her. I mean, she was Buffy, right? I never watched Buffy, the Vampire Slayer. But I liked her. I think I saw a couple of movies that she was in. Somehow we took what was going to shortly be an hour-long review and parlayed that into a two-hour, 38-minute stream, the majority of which was spent not talking about SmackDown because fuck that show. Joseph Stewart, did you know of Sid was in the final main event of Starrcade in 2000 against Scott Steiner for the WCW Championship? Yes, I was. I was indeed. And I think it was the following month, right, where he broke his leg. Was that Sin? WCW Sin, I think was the name of the show. And Eminem with the 7. You think Triple H will use the big blue steel cage for Saturday night's main event within the remainder of WWE's contract with NBC Universal? No. Why would he? We just had a cage match on Saturday night's main event. In May. Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. He didn't use the big blue cage then. Why would he use it now? I will see you back here on Monday night for the Raw post show. And don't forget, episode 925 of the Sound Off coming up. It'll be dropping sometime later in the afternoon on Sunday. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great weekend, and thank you again for all the love and 88,000 here on YouTube. Have a good weekend. I'll see you guys.